The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Paracasta? Sounds like pasta. Paracasta?
Paracasta.
That's the Spanish version.
Paracasta.
Pedicasta. It's either Italian or Spanish. I haven't figured it out yet.
Well, it's in the language of Kayak, folks. You would not know that unless you read the book Flying Saucers and the Three Men. But Nick was immersed in describing something. I want to finish that before Chris chimes in with a question.
Well, yeah, I was just basically saying that, you know, the imagery that we have today is still the old imagery. And when Greg asked the question, you know, do people sort of know what they're talking about? Are they aware of these things? A lot of them are aware of the phenomenon through the movies. But, you know, a lot of people, I don't think, are aware that when they sort of relate certain little items that most people wouldn't pick up on, but I have picked on because, you know, they're sort of, you know, they're threads that run through a lot of cases, like the Ouija board angle. You know, I've got probably now 10 or 11 cases of people who said, oh, you know, I was using a Ouija board, and then the next night I was having this weird dream of this guy in the bedroom wearing a black fedora hat. I've got so many cases like that, but it goes beyond, for me at least, being a coincidence. So, you know, people are seeing these things. They want answers, but... And they haven't changed. As I said, they're still Albert Bender's MIB from years ago.
You know, and I should chime in here, to use your term, and point out that there's also, in the 60s and 70s, there was this veneer of weirdness, like these beings or entities, whatever you want to call them, didn't seem to be comfortable in their own clothing or their skins. They would do things strangely. They had strange walks, try to eat jello with a knife, or I think was in, what, a valet book.
Yeah.
In many cases, they were described as having kind of oriental features, which is something that I think the average person who's heard the term Men in Black really is not aware of. And quite a number of cases have featured descriptions of pasty, white skin beings, but they have oriental features, which anybody want to care to comment on that?
The only thing I can think of when I've read these things and what Chris is saying at this point in my life is that maybe people are ascribing oriental features to something that they don't exactly know what an oriental feature is, or they get it from the movies or something like that. The other weird thing that I was thinking of while Nick was talking is, how do the people know this stuff, except because I'm really having a hard time with what's the reality of the Men in Black. I have a feeling they're kind of like Bigfoot, that they're kind of there when they're there, but when they're not, they're not. And they need somebody there to actually, in a lot of cases, if it is truly a paranormal type experience, to sort of bring them into existence, or at least have something to react against, if you see what I'm getting at.
No, I totally understand. I mean, there actually are a couple of pointers in that direction, one being that it's almost as if the Men in Black, when they arrive, they turn up at the door literally out of nowhere, and then when they leave, they just flit out of reality. You know, there are cases of people racing to the door after they've gone. You know, they suddenly come out of this weird stupor and they race to the door and there's no sign of them. There's no footprints. There's no cars. They're just, it's almost as if before they came through the door and left, and after they left the door, they didn't exist in some fashion. But one of the interesting theories that sort of ties in with what Greg said about tulpas and the idea that, you know, are they only sort of temporary manifestations? The one thread that runs through all the Men in Black reports is that they try and frighten people. Now, if you look at some of these stories about tulpas and thought forms, you know, one of the theories is the idea that they sort of thrive on human emotion, you know, high states of emotion. So in that sense, you can make an argument, maybe the threat actually isn't a real threat. It's not designed to silence the person that's talking about UFOs. Maybe the threat is designed to frighten the person, and then that allows them to sort of, in a parasitic fashion, feed on all that adrenaline and stress chemicals running around the body in a strange way. You know, presuming, of course, that's feasible. But, you know, I do sometimes wonder if the threat is like a ruse to provoke a sort of high state of emotion, which maybe is important to them in some fashion.
Well, one thing that I've noticed in a lot of reports is that the men in black know details of an experience that, in some cases, has not even been told to another individual by the witness. So it's almost like they could read the witness's mind, and they know facts that there's no way they could have gone to, like, a neighbor or to a friend and gotten that information, because the witness will say, I never told anybody, and right after I had this experience, boom, these creepy guys showed up.
It sounds like it's coming from, you know, if nobody else has been told, maybe a lot of it is coming from the person, but leaving out the fact, you know, whether there's an actual physical men in black there or not. It also brings what you just said, Chris, and Nick, was something another researcher told me recently about fear being a carrier wave for weirdness.
Well, that would make sense. You know, it would explain, as you said, Greg, about how the men in black would know all about your experiences, because maybe that fear factor is sort of actually in some way responsible for creating the men in black in the first place. You know, so of course they're going to know, you know, what's going through your mind.
Right, exactly.
So he does go, but I mean, this is one of the things, more than any, one aspect more than any other of the UFO subjects, where it involves researchers and the witnesses. You know, if you look at somebody who's spoken, you know, to a researcher about a UFO incident they've had, well, the person telling the story has had the experience, and the researcher is collecting and analyzing the data. But what you often find in Men in Black cases is that, you know, there are the witnesses who talk about their experiences, and then when researchers investigate the Men in Black, sometimes they, or quite often they, find themselves on the end of the Men in Black as well. Now, that doesn't often happen in, like, abductions or contactee cases. It's like the researcher and the witness is separate, you know, like the police interviewing a victim of a crime. But not with the Men in Black. You know, it very often is the case that, you know, the researchers start getting weird phone calls, or somebody stops outside the house and takes a photograph, you know, all sorts of strange things like that, which I know Greg's had.
Let me ask you a quick question here, Nick. The people you've talked to who have encountered some kind of man in black or men in black or women in black phenomenon, were they previously familiar with the legend of the men in black before they had this experience, or was it new to them?
It wasn't new to them in the sense that they knew of the movies, but they didn't have, for the most part, preconceived knowledge of, you know, the whole history of the Men in Black. You know, a couple of them said, obviously, I'm paraphrasing here, but I know a couple of them said stuff like, I saw a couple of Men in Black, or they visited me, and they were, you know, straight out of the movies, that kind of thing. So they knew who they were, because there was this sudden, in the mid to late 90s, this sudden shift where everybody had heard of the Men in Black. You see what I mean? But certainly the ones I've spoken to who made the analogy between the movie versions, they didn't know anything about, or never even mentioned, you know, the weirder aspects. It was just, they're in black suits and they threatened me. You know, they were the Men in Black. So, but again, you know, that's one of the awkward things when you're trying to study these cases, is because, you know, it's better that pre-90s, you know, you could say a case, I wouldn't say it's more credible, but you could analyze it easier without the sort of infection, if you like, caused by the movies, which led everybody on the planet to have heard of the Men in Black.
It's funny how memes can propagate.
But I mean, I don't know if Greg wants to talk about his own, you know, that sort of weird stuff that happened and whatever.
You know what? Let's have Greg talk about that in our next segment. This way it gives people time to take a breather, him time to take a breather, and rehearse his best Paracast stinger yet. So we'll be back with Nick and Greg Bishop. And reminder, if you want to learn more about the Paracast Plus and all the great stuff we offer, check out plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We tell you how to join, the features, and so much more to come. with Nick and Gene and Chris and Greg. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that it's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
I'm Jesse Gonzalez, Vice President of Kmart. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States? Or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? But you can help. Join me and Kmart for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March Times 5 premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we have Nick Redfern, Greg Bishop, Gene and Chris. Greg?
Nick asked me to describe my it wasn't really a Men in Black, because I've never really had a Men in Black episode, but I did have a paranoid period of my life, which lasted for about a year, and I referred to this a little bit earlier. What it was is that this guy from Naval Intelligence started telling me things. He started telling me that people could look at my computer when I was on the computer. They could watch me anytime they wanted. Anyway, he just got me worked up into a paranoid frenzy. The funny thing was, stuff started happening. And I'll give you a couple examples. One, mail started being opened and intercepted by before it got to my post office box, which hadn't happened before. And it was completely unrelated to this Navy guy. It was Carla Turner and Peter Jordan, who Chris knows about. He was a cattle mutilation researcher. Every envelope I got from those two people were either destroyed, opened, or something, which means that somebody was trying to let me know that they were watching that mail, because you can open mail and not have anybody know. The other thing I think Nick was referring to is one time I was sitting in my front room and I looked out in the front and there was a guy sitting across the street in the car looking in our front window of our apartment on the ground floor. And when I went up to the window to see what was going on, he took a picture and drove away. Now, I suppose he could have been a real estate person or something. I don't know.
No, he was a fan, Greg. Come on. He was a fan.
Right. He wanted to come and buy a copy of Greg's book, It Defies Language. No, this is before that book came out. Oh, well. Maybe he knew the book would come out one of these days.
He was a time traveler. The other thing is I started getting phone calls all day and night. I'd pick up the phone and there'd be either nothing or a strange noise. And I'd hang the phone up.
No heavy breathing?
No heavy breathing. Unfortunately, I didn't get any heavy breathers. So, usually you don't have women heavy breathers, but whatever. No,
well, that would be fun.
Yeah. Then I'd stay on the line, you know. But it would be like a buzzing or some like weird noise, and I would get paranoid and go, oh, my God, this is the tone that's going to take over my mind and make me go, kill the president or something, a la Manchurian candidate. And the final thing, I'm trying to think of the final thing that really freaked me out. I talked about this in the book. I was working at night in my house, and I'll make this short, in my apartment. There was an apartment upstairs that was exactly the same floor plan as mine. This is like 2 in the morning. Everybody's asleep. I'm working on my computer, working on excluded middle. I get up and walk out of my room, and I notice that my landlord, whoever lived, was up there, because my landlord lived there, walked out of that room upstairs the same time I did. And I walked back to the back bedroom, and that person upstairs walked back to the back bedroom, and I thought, huh, weird coincidence. And then for the next probably 5 minutes or more, whoever it was up there went everywhere I went in the house. Really weird. I mean, I really started getting freaked out. And so finally I ran into my computer, and for some reason the first thing I remembered is the guy told me people can read what's on your computer screen. I typed in really large letters. I like called up Microsoft Word or something, put a really large font. I typed in, I know what you're doing, stop it. And it stopped.
Oh, boy. And hey, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not mimicking your every movement.
Yeah, well, this is what I was talking about, being in kind of a paranoid state of mind and what happens. And, you really can't tell what's real anymore, at least real to somebody outside of your mindset or what's going on to you personally. It doesn't mean it's not real and not real for you. I mean, this is getting into very weird definitions about reality and all that. But finally, I got tired of being scared all the time, so I just said, look, I'm just going to stop being scared. I don't care what's going on. Nobody's hurting me. Nobody's threatening me. So I'm just going to assume that everything's fine. And within a month or so, all the stuff stopped. They stopped opening the mail. I stopped getting the phone calls. Now, what happened there? Obviously, phone calls and getting stuff in the mail is not something I imagined. But when I made the decision to stop being paranoid, the paranoid stuff stopped. Really weird.
Well, that's interesting. It reminds me of the only MIB case that I ever I wouldn't even call it an MIB case. It's just a sort of ancillary to the actual case, which was one of two abduction cases that I actually ever, were presented in 13 years in the San Luis Valley. And, I bring this up because, Nick, you mentioned that abductees rarely, to my knowledge, if ever, have gotten threatened by MIB-type characters. And this particular woman was having contact with supposed ET beings, and she was okay with it. In fact, she had an ET lover, according to her, and the one aside that I just can't help but mentioning is that she really liked it when he dressed up in this gold lamé cape because it reminded her of Elvis. But at one point when she was waiting for, I think it was copies of some of her medical files about a missing third trimester pregnancy, and it goes on to, it's quite an involved story. But at one point, she noticed that her mail had been intercepted, and she wasn't getting mail that, she should have gotten from family and friends and stuff. And one day she was looking out down her long driveway, which is about a quarter mile long. She was a rancher woman and had a horse ranch. And she noticed at the end of her driver, she said it was like this old Cadillac, if I remember correctly. And she said these two guys were out there, and she said it was like the Blues Brothers were going through her mailbox and all her mail. She described them as the Blues Brothers. And when she ran down there and started yelling, they quickly jumped into the car and sped away. And she actually filed a report with the post office about, people, rifling through her mail, and actually made a file, a report to the local county sheriff's office, which I was able to corroborate. So there's a case of an alleged abductee or contactee, if you will, that had the Blues Brothers, MIB types, rifling through her mailbox. I love it. She actually stopped getting her mail at her house and got a P.O. box in town as a result of that. Don't all talk at once.
It wasn't really an MIB thing, but it just illustrates that when you get into kind of a weird frame of mind and weird state and weird, I don't know what it is, you enter some like weirdness field, it starts to feed on itself. And like I said, maybe fear is part of the carrier wave for that. It basically amplifies it and gives it power.
Well, yeah, that sort of does tie in, with some of the stuff about thought forms and tulpas and just sort of the fear factor like Bender. I don't think it's a coincidence that Albert Bender got so many weird Men in Black experiences when he was someone who lived a life filled with stress, a life filled with paranoia, and, well, not a life full, but I mean during those formative years in ufology, when he was very stressed out, frightened by it all, fearful, developed his fear of cancer, and lived in an attic.
Let's do our break here. We have Nick Redfern. We have Greg Bishop. We have Gene and Chris looking at the men or the things in black. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro-1 G2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com or 800-544-3533.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our Healthy Body Weight Loss System simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. you can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Did you know a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-900-0684.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs with no hassle. Never have to clean your machine by hand again. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-900-0684. That's 1-800-900-0684.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
That's Porky, Nick Redfern. With Greg Bishop and Gene and Chris. By the way, Greg is on the road with his cell phone. So if it sounds a little bit warbly, it's because he's underwater.
I stopped at a scenic spot, and I'm sitting still here in the car. So I'm trying to hold it together here, Gene and Chris.
You're doing good, bro. You're doing good.
So let's go on. Chris, any questions from our listeners of Nick?
Yeah, we do. There's actually several really good ones. This one comes from Blowfish, Nick, and, of course, he's been a longtime poster at the Paracast. He just went over the 2,000 post mark.
And that's just last week.
He's been around for 6 years, and he's always asking good questions. He's from Whittingham in England. And he's wondering, Nick, have you heard of any MIB sightings or alleged encounters near or in the location of Bentwaters, or any other military bases from where eyewitness accounts were fielded of poltergeist activity? Or how about slender shadow men sightings by eyewitnesses prior to UFO events?
You said one part of the question related to poltergeist activity. Is that what you said?
Other military bases from eyewitness accounts of poltergeist activity, slender or shadow men.
Well, I have actually got a few cases, like as I mentioned earlier, I think perhaps 10, 11, 12, something like that, of people who had MIB experiences. You know, they'd seen a UFO, had some sort of alien encounter. The men in black turned up, and then after they'd gone, sometimes it was a period of hours, sometimes a couple of days, there were periodic experiences of poltergeist activity in the home, like something flying across a table or a picture just falling off suddenly. Off a table, or doors slamming, things like that. Right. And there's enough cases, you know, 12, 13 is not a lot, But when they're coming from people who I'm sure, you know, were telling the truth and didn't know anybody else, you know, who's telling the same story, they just wanted answers. You know, I think we're seeing a pattern there. Now, as far as the whole issue of Bentwaters and the Rendlesham Forest case is concerned, I'm not personally aware of any Men in Black cases, but what I do know is that if you read Larry Warren and Peter Robbins' book, Left at Eastgate, you know, there's some indications in there of both men, both Larry and Peter, being monitored at various points over the years and watched. Now, I don't think we can blame those on sort of the more paranormal Men in Black. I think that probably actually is, you know, far more to do with concerns over the airmen at the base and who they're talking to and about what. So that's probably the closest I can think of. But as far as, you know, MIB sightings around military bases, no, I don't really, as far as I can remember, I don't have any like that. That sort of,
yeah, I'm not familiar with any either. How about you, Greg? MIB cases?
Around military bases?
Right.
None come to mind. The only thing I think, and we haven't really brought up, was that in an early interview I had with Bill Moore, he said that the Men in Black thing was seized upon by the Air Force and other intelligence agencies early on. You know, they glommed onto it and then just sent people out that sort of fit the same description and acted the same way just to mess with people and get UFO sighting information out, or at least any UFO sightings near military bases, so they could, you know, tell, one, find out what they saw, and two, tell them to shut up about it.
Let me ask you a quick question, Greg, though. In light of some of the things we later learned about Bill Moore, why believe anything he says?
I don't know. And every time somebody asks me that, I tell them, Bill Moore's my friend. He hasn't lied to me yet. And if you think I'm deluded and he's a big fat liar and I shouldn't believe anything he says, then I'm sorry. I know him, and it's that's my opinion.
No, that's fine. Nobody is attacking you for that. I was just asking. It seemed a sensible question.
In my non-attack mode, I will say that, I'll repeat, I've known Bill since 1988, I think. I've never caught him saying anything to me that either wasn't true or didn't turn out to be true later. So I'm going to have to go with the track record of him communicating with me.
28 years.
If he tells me something, if he ever tells me something that's not true, I guess I, you know, throw everything else into doubt. But so far, everything is checked out, and you know, I don't know about other people, but he's always been straight with me.
Is he totally out of it, or what?
Yeah, it has been for a long time.
I was wondering, whether...
I talk to him every once in a while, every so often, probably every few months, and he, if I mention UFO stuff, he will generally change the subject. So, yeah, he's pretty well sick of it, doesn't want to talk about it anymore, not really interested in it anymore. And he, you know, like he said years ago, I found out as much as I could, and it wasn't really a whole hell of a lot of anything important that I really needed or anybody else did, so, but it was a fun adventure. I think that's basically his attitude now.
Well, let bygones be bygones, I guess.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, why don't you finish your thought, and then I'll go on to another Blowfish question.
No, I finished my thought. Please go on with the listener questions.
Okay. You know, Gene just corrected me. Blowfish is from Whittingham, Australia. My apologies. I should have known that. Oh, ouch. Okay.
We're giving him a smack in the head. That's what we were doing there. I reached my hand through my iMac and connect with Chris's iMac and hits him in the head.
Ow. Damn. Okay.
Tell us new Jonics.
Yeah, there you go. Nick, did Mr. Alfred K. Bender have any interest in poltergeist activity? And then the follow-up to that is, did he ever work for the U.S. Defense Force?
Well, he was certainly in the military in the Second World War, but, I mean, there's nothing strange about that because he was born in 1921, so, you know, when America joined the war in 41, he would have been 19 or 20, so, you know, it's natural that he would have a background, you know, we're fighting against Hitler, but not beyond that, no.
So he was in the Eastern Theater or in Europe?
I'm honestly not sure where he was, but, I mean, he did serve, you know, his country during the Second World War. I mean, that's a fact. You can actually find pictures of him online in his uniform as well. If you look at his story, I mean, he was heavily involved in paranormal activity. I mean, for example, the book I've got coming out, Women in Black, that actually opens with a story from Bender, how he talked about how back in the 1930s, when he was a little kid, the family would talk about the woman in black that would visit family members, you know, which is kind of ironic that he's famous for the Men in Black. But if you've seen the Men in Black, excuse me, the Woman in Black movie, she was kind of like that, like this gliding spectral figure that would, you know, hover over the bed in the middle of the night. So he was into that. He was heavily into alchemy. He was very interested in alchemy, you know, the whole issue of sort of transmuting of metals into, you know, base metals into precious metals, that kind of thing. He was also, I forget what it's called, Greg might know the name, but it's where people sort of hang like a key or something over a Bible and look for certain phrases. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know about it. Bible man.
Yeah.
No idea. I know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, Bender used to do that. It was to sort of get, you know, it was almost like divining almost.
Yeah, it's a divination tool, like pendulum magic.
As I said, he was heavily involved in the UFO subject, but also, like I said, paranormal stuff. He had this supernatural altar, as he called it, in his attic, you know, of all places, sleep in the attic. And as I said, he changed it into this chamber of horrors. And he was well versed in just about every aspect of the paranormal. You know, like I said, he wasn't a dabbler. He wasn't like, you know, somebody today who thinks they know all about the occult because they wear a Marilyn Manson t-shirt and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it wasn't like that. Bender was actually very clued up on all this, and maybe that's why he had the experiences, because he wasn't a dabbler. He knew how to, you know.
You're kind of hinting around at some ritual magic knowledge.
Let's ask about the ritual magic knowledge, real or imagined. We have Greg Bishop, Nick Redfern, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien. You're in
El Paracasto.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So we're in the store of the Paracast or something like that. I haven't figured this out yet.
No, that was definitely Spanish.
Okay, definitely. I have to ask my son Grayson because I don't know much of Spanish.
Well, you forgot to roll his R's. Paracasto.
El Paracasto. There we go.
We need to call on Red Pill Junkie. He would show us the way.
Yeah. Greg's illustrator for his new book, It Defies Language, which is one of the best books to come out in recent memory on this whole convoluted subject. I'm sure Nick's forthcoming books are going to be right there among them, but I'll tell you, he's quite the artist.
Well, you should get we should get into a discussion of Greg's book. It's a good one.
Yeah.
I was already on the show talking about the book, but if Chris wants to mention something, that's fine.
I'm having so much fun going through it, Greg. I mean, there are some real pearls of wisdom and just gems of insight. I don't know how else to put it. It's definitely not your normal book, which is really cool in my book.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I mean, I just turned in a Kindle edition with about 70 more pages of stuff. So that'll be released in about 2 weeks. I've got an extra Red Pill Junkie illustration featuring Paul Kimball. And a lot of the illustrations that I have in there, I actually found color versions of them because in Kindle you could put in color illustrations. So I got a color picture of Jamie Chanderay and some other things. But yeah, there's definitely it's an 88,000 word book now, where it used to be like a 72,000 word book. So I added quite a lot of stuff.
Are you going to restore that to the print edition?
No, because it would make the book like 330 pages, and I don't want anybody to have to go through a 330-page book. Whereas Kindle, in a digital format, it's not that big of a deal, and you can go through it at your leisure. So you don't have to carry around this horse-chokingly big book. Also, I think I mentioned this before. I wanted to make people interested to buy the Kindle, too, because there's extra stuff in it. It's like half the price, so whatever.
It's a good marketing strategy.
Yeah, I'm just marketing. I mean, as mercenary, that's probably as mercenary as I ever get, I hope.
Yeah, mercenary and Greg Bishop are not two terms that you hear together in the same sentence ever. So
yeah, well,
or for that matter, Nick, because everything Nick comes out with is like, you know, is right on and needs to be there. And I mean, Nick, God bless you, man. Keep it up. I don't know how you do it, but you know, no, how many books did you have out in the last year?
He's the hardest working man in ufology.
Well, you know, I mean, I do it because I enjoy it. You know, if the passion wasn't there for it, I couldn't just do it sort of cynically, you know what I mean? So I feel sort of driven to do what I do. But as Greg knows, you know, and a lot of people know, I like to keep it structured. And I think if I did it sort of 24/7, I'd be burned out and I would be done with it. You know, I like to sort of do 8 to 5, Monday to Friday. Have evenings off, hit the town, and same on weekends, you know, and I have a total normal life away from it all.
And occasionally go out for a bender.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, it's sort of a case then Monday morning, I like to sort of get back to it, 8 to 5, and I just, you know, I try and, you know, present things that I think hopefully people will enjoy, but also be sort of, you know, sort of provoke thoughts and ideas as to what's going on. And that's why, you know, I don't sort of, I mean, I could just spend endless time, you know, doing a book on Roswell or an A to Z of UFO crashes or something, but there really wouldn't be anything new to it. So I like to sort of, like with a Women in Black book or whatever, you know, come up with something new that's going to hopefully, well, you know, present people with something they haven't seen before. And a lot of the stuff I'm interested in is sort of the more alternative aspects of ufology and cryptozoology, in the sense that, you know, that's why I don't get booked for a lot of the mainstream UFO conferences, because the last thing they want to hear is me talking about tulpas and UFOs, which is unfortunate. You know, what they want instead is crashed metal ships and Area 51 and reverse engineering. But, you know, they're going to get from me tulpas and, you know, sort of summoning up Men in Black and all that business, which they don't want, you know, at certain conferences. So. But that's all right. I don't mind being the alternative one in the crowd. That's fine.
I know the feeling, believe me, and I know Greg does too.
Now, Nick, I wanted to ask you here briefly about the Women in Black. Because we hear so much about the Men in Black, and you've done a book that we'll see soon. Oh, I don't even want to go into that. All right. Can you give us a briefing about Women in Black?
Oh, well, I can actually tell you a lot about Women in Black, but you're talking about the ones in the book.
Obviously, we want to sell the book, but give people a preview. Make them curious.
Oh, okay.
Well, build a buzz.
The women in Black I go into town with on a Saturday night, you know, but they're totally different. They're goths. They're not... You know, they're not women in black, but, well, they are, but you know what I mean. I'm rambling. Anyway, the book's called Women in Black, and it'll be out very soon. And basically, it's a study of the female equivalent of the Men in Black. And they're actually very similar, almost, you know, identically in terms of their sort of operations. They turn up when people had UFO encounters. They threaten them. They sometimes try and find a way into the people's homes by using claims, you know, that they're census takers and things like that. There's a spate of encounters in England in the 80s and 90s where they claim to be social workers, where they said, you know, that the neighbours had reported, you know, abuse of the children and things like that, you know, sort of, you know, the parents beating them up or whatever. And they were described as sort of like pale, and these sometimes wearing long black wigs. And there's a lot of creepy stories in that book. Just like Albert Bender's Men in Black, they turn up in paranormal situations, even in relation to cryptozoological creatures. But again, there's not a single case in the book at all where they sound like, you know, sort of Agent Scully, you know, from the X-Files. There's not one that's like that. All of them are sort of tied in with paranormal phenomena, but there's a weird aspect to every one of them. So, you know, we're talking about people who've had abduction cases, contactee cases, people who had sort of encounters, you know, just seen a UFO in the sky and they were visited. Some of the cases were significant, others you just wouldn't give a second thought to, but even those witnesses got visits. And like the Men in Black, they typically wait to be invited before they come in the house.
It sounds like a vampire.
Well, that's actually what a lot of these stories do. They sound like upgraded versions of old vampire tales. And but there's, you know, there's not a single case, like I said, in the book, which isn't sort of steeped in weirdness. And again, hopefully, you know, it'll open people's eyes to the idea that, wow, this is another component to the UFO mystery that, not completely, but largely, or to a significant degree, has been overlooked. You know, John Keel talked about a few sort of mystery women in black in a couple of his books, but it's never sort of really been expanded on because I think a lot of the times people just don't make the connection, you know.
Well, you know, a quick question. Are these primarily cases from the United Kingdom and from America? Or do we have some from elsewhere, from South America, from possibly somewhere else in Western Europe, Asia? Where do most of these reports originate?
Well, most of the ones I've got are from the United States and the UK. But in saying that, you know, most of the reports I get of cryptids and anything else are usually from the US and the UK because, you know, they're English language speaking and they're sort of plugged into the UFO subject quite extensively. So I don't think it's not because there is a shortage of reports, but I'm guessing, you know, for the most part, maybe somebody in France reports their sighting to a French researcher, you know what I mean? I think there's actually sort of a down-to-earth reason for that. But I have got a few foreign cases in the book. There's one from Mexico, one from Vietnam, and there's one from Puerto Rico that I investigated actually personally when I was out there in 2005 with Paul Kimball.
Well, we have a question here from Valerie, who's a fairly new sign-up at forum.theparacast.com, where you can post questions for our guests. And she's wondering about audiobooks. She just, let's see, I think it was Blood of the Gods or one of your newer books. She listened to in audio format and just absolutely loved it. And she's wondering if you're planning on going back through your catalog or releasing other versions of your work in an audio format.
Let's have that answer in our next segment with Nick Redfern, Greg Bishop, Gene, and Chris. Whoever wants to do this one can. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
When I was 15 and a half years of age, I had two large mercury fillings put into my teeth. I got very sick that day, and over time, the mercury exposure damaged my body. My shiny disposition turned to depression and low energy. Many years later, I understood what had happened, and in 1991, I replaced these mercury fillings with white composite. In 1997, I learned that the homeopathic mercury detox I did years earlier did not remove the mercury from my body. I began an effective means of removing mercury from my body. My digestion and elimination returned to normal, and I began to have my life back. From 1999 to 2005, I tested the level of mercury in my body, and each test showed my mercury burden was high. After 5 years on One World Way, I recently did another mercury test. The results showed my body is free of mercury and virtually all toxic metals. One World Way is very powerful for detoxification support. It has helped many, and it may help you. Call 888-988-3325 or visit OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com.